PM.
Apo tinokupa iyi nawo. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk, Women's Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington this Thursday, August the 3rd, 2023. I am your host, Sithandekile Mhlanga. Tonight, we are discussing the impact of 2023 Mandela Washington Fellowship, a foundation program of the Young African Leaders Initiative, YALI. Because it's Women's Roundtable today, we'll be discussing with female participants from Zimbabwe, analyzing what they achieved and what they intend to do back home with the knowledge and skills gained. The YALI program is the brainchild of former U.S. President Barack Obama. It began in 2014, empowering young leaders from sub-Saharan Africa through academic coursework, leadership training, and networking opportunities. But first, let's look at what happened in Zimbabwe and the United States today. A member of the opposition party Citizens Coalition for Change died in political violence that erupted today in the high-density suburb of Glenview 7. The deceased party says its member was killed by ZANU-PF members. However, Information Director of the ruling ZANU-PF party, Farai Marapira, says as a party, ZANU-PF does not support violence and that the police must arrest all those that were involved in the death of the Glenview resident. Police have since issued out a statement confirming the death and attribute the incident to public violence as a result of clashes, adding they will issue out a detailed statement in due course. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court today overturned the High Court order that prevented 12 opposition Citizens Coalition for Change parliamentary candidates from contesting in the election scheduled for the 23rd of this month. The party spokesperson, Fazai Mahere, addressed journalists after the ruling.
Okay, so we've just heard the decision of the Supreme Court. Presiding judge was Justice Uchena, who was flanked by Justice Chitambuye and Justice Mwayera. They've ruled that the judgment of the High Court should be set aside. This effectively means that the 12 MPs from Bulawayo have been reinstated to the ballot. As the CCC, we don't say we're happy, we don't celebrate, because they should never have been removed in the first place. But what we do say is that we're relieved, because at least the people of Bulawayo will be able to choose leaders of their own. It would have been a coup on the will of the people for them to be removed. And as President Chamisa said this last week, and as we continue to say, the legislative authority of Zimbabwe derives from the people. There's simply no justifiable basis for the people of Bulawayo to be denied the right to vote in leaders of their choice. It's imperative that every Zimbabwean gets to make this choice. And as for ZANU-PF, we say that they can never win a free and fair election in Zimbabwe. Mthuli Ncube himself knows that we're coming for him in Cowdery Park. The people of Bulawayo are going to speak, and they're going to speak decisively on the 23rd of August 2023. To the citizens, we say thank you very much for rallying behind these 12 candidates. Let's continue to campaign very hard so that we can secure a big win for the citizens. A big win for the CCC is a big win for Zimbabwe. And we said consistently that in this election, we have to ensure that we've got a large margin so that we win Zimbabwe for change and restore Zimbabwe to its former glory and build a Zimbabwe that works for everyone.
And lawyer Moses Mahlangu, who's representing other opposition party members facing a similar impediment, reacts to today's ruling.
Bengimele bona ababangu 4 embachiloyo oyedwa ngowe Free Zimbabwe Congress abathathu ngabe Zimbabwe African National Congress uAdelaide Mhlanga Ngobizika Ndlovu no Mpilo Bebe lo Douglas Ncube ekhoti kuhambe kuhle kakhulu besikhona ngalizolo namhla kesoqeda ukuphiwa ijudgment ukuthiwa ijudgment yeye high court yako Bulawayo isibiselwe muva ama candidates la they are back on the track they are back in the field.
And elsewhere, the White House says it is closely watching a coup in Niger as the U.S. embassy prepares to evacuate staff from the West African nation, with the coup plotters staring down a Sunday deadline to reinstate the deposed democratically elected president. Analysts say Moscow and Beijing are also monitoring Niamey and looking for opportunities to widen their influence. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Washington.
This is becoming a sadly familiar image in West Africa. A group of military officers, unhappy over poor security and bad governance, imprison the country's leader, take over the airwaves, and declare themselves in charge. That's what happened in 2021 in Mali, later that year in Guinea, in 2022 in Burkina Faso, and last month in Niger.
Today, 26 July 2023, we, the Forces of Defense and Security, reunited as the National Council for the Safeguarding of the Country, CNSP, have decided to put an end to the regime which you know.
But optics aside, this West African coup is different and has Washington watching hour by hour as it sees whether frantic diplomacy will bring the deposed president, for whom the State Department has expressed unwavering support, back to power. That's because Niger is a key U.S. partner in fighting Islamic extremism in the Sahel, with a critical U.S. drone base and hundreds of U.S. troops in the country. VOA spoke this week with the nation's ambassador to the U.S. about the situation.
Less than 2 weeks ago, we had here a team of our militaries for a meeting with the United States authority. We went together to the Pentagon. We went together to the State Department. A week later, we're doing bad. What does this mean? It doesn't make any sense at all.
Analysts note that this fragile, resource-rich region is also in the crosshairs of other major powers, with Russian mercenary group Wagner increasing its foothold in neighboring countries.
This is a proxy war, and there's been an ongoing proxy war in Africa for the last 3 to 4 to 5 years, at least. It's sort of a new scramble for Africa. But here, the external forces are the United States, Russia, and China. And each, you know, Russia likes to conquer, if you will, through the Wagner Group. China likes to use economic warfare called Belt Road Initiative.
The State Department said they haven't seen proof that Russian mercenaries were involved, but said they will likely try to capitalize on the instability.
I would not be surprised to see Wagner attempt to exploit this situation to their own advantage, as they've attempted to exploit other situations in Africa to their own advantage. And when I say to their own advantage, I mean to their own personal financial advantage, as well as their attempt to expand their influence on the continent.
McFate says he doubts the putschists in Niamey will bend to pressure from Washington or the West.
A lot of Africans don't see the United States as a committed partner. So I think that the opportunities for carrots and sticks from Washington are limited, and they're frankly being challenged by Russia and China.
Western nations, including the U.S., immediately stopped aid to the landlocked country. The ECOWAS regional body gave the coup leaders a Sunday deadline to reinstate the president and a threatened force if they don't comply. Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
Yes, and to discuss our topic in depth, we welcome our in-studio guest, Phindile Gosha, one of the Yellow Fellows, YALI Fellows we'll be talking to today. Yes, Ms. Gosha, you say that you are aiming at empowering youth entrepreneurs and motivating women and girls in business skills and career development. How do you intend to do this, and how do you intend to carry out this in Zimbabwe?
Well, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for having me here. I truly appreciate the platform. I'll start by saying this. 85% of small businesses in Zimbabwe fail within the first 3 years of establishment. And not because their ideas are not so sharp or brilliant, but because of lack of resources and other things that we are saying, those challenges that hinder increased productivity and growth for small businesses, we are here to offer the solution. Of course, we can't solve everything, but within our resources, and limited solutions, we want to work with small businesses. So Startup Greenhouse Academy is an incubation hub that offers accelerator programs, and these are the tools that all businesses need really to succeed. In that particular program, we're giving a business skills support, we're giving financial literacy support, and we're giving access to networking. And lastly, a basic understanding of how to access funding opportunities.
Yabo kuyezwakala ngolimi ke lwesintu uzafika ukwenze njani lokho ekhaya kuzasiza njani inhlanganiso yakho ekhaya
into engayinanzelelayo ukuthi ikakhulukazi abantu abangomama leqembu labantu abasemakhaya kula ama-challenges amaningi abahlangabezana nawo ukuthi ama-opportunities amaningi ayabedlula ngokuswela ulwazi. Into efana lesikolo, umuntu uyabe engela sikolo, kodwa ele idea kumbe umbono owukuthi uyakwanisa ukuncedisa abanye abantu. So thina sifuna ukuthi kuhlanganiswe abantu befunde, ikakhulukazi i-networking. Ukuba khona kwami lapha ngifunde ukuthi i-networking is a powerful tool. Wonke umuntu engaba le access to i-networking, siyakwanisa ukuthi sikhule njengabantu bamabhizinisi.
Yebo, kuyezwakala. And on the line, we have one of the early fellows, Chennai Munshwera Kuye, and we welcome you to the show.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. We understand that some YALI fellows were invited today at the Zimbabwe Embassy here in Washington, D.C. You were there in the meeting. Can you tell us what transpired?
Oh, yes, it was a beautiful meeting. We had the opportunity to meet the excellence in the ambassador. Amazing opportunity, you know. It's not every day that you get to sit in a room with an ambassador for your country. We really just discussed and told him exactly what we were learning, how to become better leaders in our businesses, how to develop our communities through our businesses. And we were also then just talking about our country, Zimbabwe, how we can help develop it as well as the youth and how we can work together.
Yes, and we noticed that your legal field includes expertise in mining, agriculture, and microfinance and infrastructure development. How has the YALI program enriched your skills, and how are you planning to impact them?
Oh, lovely. So the YALI program was a very amazing program. We got to meet people who are in the industry. For example, I got to meet people in the manufacturing industry, families that are running that have been running businesses, like legacy businesses, for over 100, 200 years, and there's generational wealth there. So, and how those businesses also contribute to the community at large, so that there's a resuscitation of clinics, schools, education. It's a whole ecosystem. There's a lot of volunteering involved as well. So with my profession and with what I do, I work with investors, right? And we're trying to resuscitate industries such as in the Southern African region. But what we also do is we have a corporate social responsibility that the investors sign, so that we use that money or some of the profits that they make to build in that community. So there's transfer of skills, clinics are being built. We've got, you know, little schools, they provide books, stationery, just small things like that. So the YALI program has really taught me that, yes, what I've been doing so far is good, but we can actually do it on a larger scale. The networking as well was perfect, creating partnerships and synergies that can help to develop Africa.
Yes, thank you so much. Do stay on the line. That was Chennai Munshwera Kuyenda, one of the YALI fellows. She's a lawyer. And we come back to you, Ms. Gosha. Ungasitshela ukuthi amantombazana labesifazane ngabaxwayiswa uthini abafuna ukungena kulolu hlelo?
I would say go for it. The opportunities are there. Ukuthi thina siwa access into enkulu njengokusho kwami ukuthi networking ngoba sometimes ungayazani labantu kuyenza ukuthi udlulwe izinto. So networking iyanikeza that platform yokuthi uwazane labantu. Mina njengamabantu ababefuna ukungena kulolu hlelo ngolwazi esengilalo ngiya recommend uhlelo lolu bengasilandela ku Facebook yethu Startup Greenhouse Academy sabe siposta ukuthi abantu abafuna ukungena kulelo hlelo bengancedakala kanjani lokubanikeza ama ideas. So kuhle kakhulu ukuthi kuyakhulukazi abantu abangoma mama sincedisane sibambane thina sibe khona kuma leadership spaces ngoba ama opportunities akhona.
Yabo ke sibonge kakhulu ukuxoxa lo Phindile Gosha yena ke oyinhlanganiso ye Startup Greenhouse Academy esilaye lapha e studio 7 ku live talk. Njalo ke singayikhatshana siza ke sithathe ikhefu. Let us take a short break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depends on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Yabo ke lokulabo abasanda ukuxhumba lo ngumsakazo we Studio 7 Live Talk sikhona apha e Washington DC. And now we expect now we'll be talking to our second guest from the Yale program. And she's a Prince II certified project manager, and has an honors degree in civil and water engineering. She says her daily work is in servicing local communities by sharing her skills and experience. And she has over 6 years in design, construction and management of road, water and wastewater regulation systems. Yes, I will be talking to her shortly. But before we go to her, let's go back to Ms. Chennai, who's on the line with us. Ms. Chennai, can you say many people, in fact, let's go back to how are you going to impart the knowledge you have learned at Yali in Zimbabwe?
Oh, perfect. One biggest take that I have is to work together as a community. If the community itself is not united, then it will be difficult to have a proper ecosystem, right? So from the person who is driving the bus to the person who is going to the office to the person who is working, you know, whatever kind of job, everybody is important. We've been taught that everyone is important and they are needed in a full ecosystem. Number one. Number two, that not everything must be paid for. Sometimes you can just volunteer to pick up litter to make sure that your city is clean, your community is clean. Sometimes you can volunteer to fix an old school. You know, those are the things that I'm going to go and teach people, the importance of those things. And then number three, the importance of culture, that be original. I shouldn't be an American. I shouldn't be a person from British. I should behave like a Zimbabwean. I should be very original, stick to my culture. But we need to stick to that culture and teach kids right now so that tomorrow they will tell a better story of Zimbabwe. So those are the things that I'm going to go and impact on people, that everyone is a leader. Everyone is important in the society in their own way, at their own level, in their own social status, because we are all interdependent on each other. And when we unite, all of us will come up with a positive result in that community.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Do stay on the line. And Ms. Kumbo, like I told you, we have Ms. Kumbo here in the studio. How was your Yali experience and its impact on your field of expertise?
My experience was amazing, especially because I realized that leadership is not generic. People say that some people are born leaders, but I feel like it is our responsibility to always strive to learn how to be effective leaders and pay attention to the needs of our communities around us. And this Yali program offered me an opportunity to interact with all other leaders across Africa, and it was really, really impactful.
Yes, do most women take up their careers in this engineering department? What have you seen in your field?
Well, it is a male-dominated industry, even to this day. However, I realize that the few women who are in the industry are doing very well because we try and stick together. I run mentorship programs. I try to mentor other young women. I try to mentor other upcoming engineers because we strive for competence. We strive for excellence in what we do. And that way, we are tipping the scales the right way.
Yes, and we see that you are affiliated to several organizations and social media platforms. How do they help you to achieve your goal? But before you can answer that, it's also interesting to note that, as you have given us in your profile here, you do network with these many organizations and social media platforms. Can you tell us more?
Yes, like my fellow Pindi said, lack of access to information is what robs us of most opportunities. So I realized that if you interact with different social media platforms, for example, I have a YouTube channel where I document my everyday life because I want other young girls and other Zimbabwean youth to see themselves represented in me and know that they can also achieve what I've achieved and that these opportunities are available for them. So using social media for that is very impactful because we show that we're a globalized community and everyone can identify themselves and they won't be afraid to take up spaces.
So do you get a lot of feedback in these social media platforms? Do you see the youths, the women, and any other people coming up?
Yes, because whenever I have a video up or a post up, I always get comments from other upcoming women saying they are inspired, and it has given me opportunities to even interact with other mentorship fellowship programs because of that.
Yes, take us through your work. What exactly do you do as a civil engineer, and what is your day like? What do you do? Where do you work? Or what goes on?
I work in the public sector. I'm currently a project engineer, a project manager for one of the cities back home. So what my daily life is like, the city of Mutare.
Okay.
Although I've worked in Bulawayo and in Matabeleland in South Province. So what a civil engineer does basically and what a project manager does is we do infrastructure development. We do make sure that we provide services like road networks, water services, and wastewater facilities because one of my passions is the implementation of the sustainable goal number 6, which is providing clean water and sanitation services to our communities.
Yes, and would you encourage more youths and women, young girls, to also participate? Which subjects should they concentrate in at school?
So the STEM field is the future, I believe so. And I would encourage especially young women because they tend to be scared of mathematics. I used to love maths and physics in high school, which is why I chose engineering, even though it's a male-dominated industry. But then the STEM is the future, and I would encourage all upcoming youths to take up science, technology, engineering, and maths subjects.
Yebo-ke, kodwa bona ingani bazakwenza lokhu njalo lezikolo zethu ziyenelisa yini ukuthi zibaqeqeshe kulezo izifundo?
Ukuthi bazakwenza, ngiyawazi ukuthi bazakwenza ngoba bayenelisa. However, one of the things engizinanzelelile ku-program le and one of the partnerships engizenzileyo ukuthi sifuna ukuvala i-gap between our academia esikufunda esikolo and the industry ukwenzela ukuthi esikufunda esikolo kube yikho okuhambelana lokwenzakala ngalezi nsuku emhlabeni esiphila kiyo. So as we continue to partner with tertiary institutions and high school institutions, will try and make sure that we have STEM awareness campaigns, which is one of the things that I do, STEM awareness campaigns, which is science, technology, engineering, and maths, and we try and highlight what current needs are in the industry so that the academia can meet up.
Yes, you also say you are a project manager.
Yes.
Kahle kahle kuyini okwenziwa iproject manager njalo iwapi ama project lawo aqoqa.
So u project manager umsebenzi wakhe you make sure ukuthi ama project iloba yipi project iyayenzakala ngesikhathi nge budget ephiweyo and ngehlonzi eliphakemeyo. What we call the trifecta, which is time, quality, and cost. So what we do is one of the projects that we're doing is, say, servicing of stands. We have to make sure that abantu mabebuya kuzohlala endaweni bathola kulamanzi aranayo, bathola kulama sanitation services aranayo, just for the general health and safety of the community.
Yebo ke, hayi siyabonga. Back to you, Ms. Chennai Munsara Guyenda, a lawyer who is on the phone. Yes, can you tell us more about what you learned, especially from the early program, from the university which you attended? What was your day like?
Okay. It's a very intense program, and I believe that's why they take professionals for this program, because you are already somebody who's working in any sector and you're already a busy person. So the program itself was very intense but very amazing. You really had to be on your toes. One thing that I also took from it was the Americans really value time. So when they say a meeting is starting at 2 p.m., it starts at 2 p.m. If you're not there, the doors are closed. So you would want to be there on time. I learned timekeeping. I learned to always move in a rush, to always move with urgency, because urgency is what will make your business succeed. On a daily, really, we had a lot of academic sessions, usually in the mornings, and then we had site visits. Sometimes we even went out of town to also just see a different setup. I was in a bigger city, and then when we traveled to another town, it's like maybe rural Bindura. It's like maybe Bindura or Mazowe, but only bigger, really, or like Mashingo, but only bigger. And then we'd see how a community of 1,500 people only in that town have a budget of $9 million dollars. That day rained alone. Wow, right? So I'll still go back to that community engagement. That's one take that I took. The networking, you should learn to communicate. You should have a story to tell. Every day you should have a story to tell. We met so many young people here who are still in university, but sometimes you look at how they think already. They're way ahead because they've been taught that culture that I was talking about earlier, to always have your story to tell. Tell everyone your story, whether it's a business story, whether it's an academic story, even if you're a student, tell people your vision, what you want. What
okay.
Positive you want in the society?
All right. Thank you so much. Just stay there on the line. We have a caller. Siyakwamukela mlaleli kuhlelo. Siyakwamukela mlaleli Khumalo. Linjani khona ngapha?
Siyaphila linjani baba?
Hayi, siyaphila. Ungathini ngalokho esixoxa ngakho lapha silamantombazana akuyali program lapha eWashington? Ungathini ngabakuchoyo?
Hayi, mina ngiyajabula nje ukuthi mangabe lokho abakutholileyo nathi bangabe basifundise khona, ngoba nami nje inkulumo ngithole isiphakade, angizwanga kahle uhlelo luqala ukuthi bekugxilwe ngani kakhulukazi enkulumeni yabo.
Ye, hayi, kodwa aqakathekile ke amazwi akhona la ukuthi konke abakutholileyo bengasichathekela. Siyabonga kakhulu. And your last word, Ms. Ku?
My last words would be to every Zimbabwean youth, that let us take up space, let us take up opportunity. Ngoba siyenelisa. We have the capability, we have the intelligence and the intellect to do so. And I always say this, that statistics shows that 70% of the population in Africa is youth. And amandla asezandleni zethu njengabantu abatsha. So asisukumeni, asibambanenini, let's collaborate and build a better community.
A very powerful statement there, encouraging the youths to take up this engineering field. Yes, we come to the end of our show and would like to say thank you to our guest, Chennai Munsara Guyenda, and Phindile Khosha, who was here in the studio, an entrepreneur, and Abigail Kumbo, the civil and water engineer. Until we meet again tomorrow, I'm your host, Sithandekile Mhlanga. Good evening.